Welcome to Campo, an anthropological podcast. I'm Carol Parreiras, a postdoctoral researcher at State University of Campinas in Brazil and a producer of the Campo podcast with Professor Paula Lacerda. In today's episode, we will talk about Lélia Gonzalez, a Brazilian intellectual, anthropologist, philosopher, black activist, feminist, and founder of the Unified Black Movement in Brazil. We chose to speak of Lélia Gonzalez because of her importance to social science in Brazil and for her political activism. As part of the American Anthropological Association Anthro Day, we thought this episode will be an excellent opportunity to present Gonzalez's works outside Brazil. The reflections presented here were first recorded in Portuguese by Paula Lacerda. It is important to note that we tried to translate the terms used by Gonzalez to English, but some of them are quite difficult. In certain cases, we try to explain what she means by a given term, believing that translation is always relational and a matter of interpretation. Before recording this podcast, we held a study group that met remotely. Campo is based on collective discussions about the authors. So we would like to thank everyone involved in this group, and also Juliana Valente, an anthropologist from CUNY, who reviewed the English version. Currently, Lélia Gonzalez's work is relatively accessible. It consists of biographical writings, complete books, and a recent collection organized by Brazilian professors Flávia Rios and Márcia Lima, which brings together texts by Lélia that were dispersed in other books or journals, in addition to interviews with newspapers such as Mulherio, Jornal do MNU, and O Pasquim. This collection was released at the end of 2020 and is undoubtedly a fundamental contribution to the studies on Lélia Gonzalez. Despite the fact that many of Lélia's texts have been published and that access to them is relatively easy today, the dialogue with the author's work and, above all, the incorporation of her contributions into Brazilian social thought is still, in our view, far from ideal, given the importance of her work. This perception was discussed in our study group in a very specific way. How have the contributions of Lélia Gonzalez been considered, especially in studies on intersectionality? In particular, one of her texts, Racism and Sexism in Brazilian Culture, published in the Journal of the Brazilian National Association for Research in Social Sciences, has been used to deepen discussions regarding the mutually constitutive relationship between gender and race in the dynamics of social life. This seems very important to us. The attempt to put Lélia Gonzalez in dialogue with Kimberlé Crenshaw, Patricia Hill Collins, and Angela Davis are legitimate and very interesting. But our main observation is that the themes discussed by Lélia are central themes for the field of the so-called Brazilian social thought. Racism in Brazilian society, that is, the connections between identity, behavior, and representation, and her interest in Brazilian social and political formation and possibilities for transformation, are themes presented by Lélia that constitute this field of Brazilian social thought. Good examples of these themes are racial democracy, Brazilian culture, democracy, collective organization, among others. In a recent conference, Brazilian researcher Alex Hatz from the Federal University of Goiás made an important provocation to the Brazilian Academy, stating that it is not possible to talk about the influence of those who have not been read. He also points to the recent and growing interest in the production of black authors, highlighting this aspect, recent and growing. Hatz prefers to discuss Lélia's place either through her presence or absence. We will leave the link of this lecture in the reference of this episode. Alexat is a super important researcher when it comes to Lélia Gonzalez, in addition to having studied the production of other Brazilian Black intellectuals. Lélia Gonzalez' alma mater is UERJ, now called the State University of Rio de Janeiro, where she graduated in 1959 in geography and history. When she graduated in philosophy a few years later, the university was already called Guanabara State University. This was in 1961. At the end of the 70s, some of Lélia's first academic productions were published. A publication in the newspaper O Lampião da Esquina, entitled Black Woman, a Portrait, and the paper Culture, Ethnicity and Labor, presented in a Latin American Studies Association Congress. I will comment a little on this publication, which is from 1979 and appears in the aforementioned book edited by Flávia Rios and Márcia Lima. In this text, originally a talking given at a scientific event, the theme of labor has a central place. For Lélia, understanding unemployment and underemployment implies describing the Brazilian economy under the hegemony of monopoly industrial capital. The author bases her analysis on statistical data on income and employment in Brazil. In the text presented at this Congress, the author makes a strong and valid critique regarding the role of Brazilian theorists immersed in a cultural neocolonialism who are unable to see fundamental concrete data about race and color as a constitutive element for the concentration of income and power in Brazilian society. According to the author, Brazilian intellectuals promoted the thesis of Black people's integration to society as an obvious consequence of industrialization. As a result, the responsibility for employment was placed on the Black population. Categories such as social enemy, cultural poverty, and dysfunctional family, under this theory, are offered to understand the situation of inequality and asymmetry. This frees the white segment and its institutions from responsibility, practical and theoretical, as well as ethical, for the social and political situation of Blacks in Brazil. In other words, the author's criticism is blunt. Theoretical colonialism, as well as ethical lack of commitment, resulted in the white intellectuals and their institutions not commit to social changes, as well as producing scientific knowledge that justified social inequalities. For Lélia, the white capitalist benefits directly from the fruits of Black exploitation. White people receive, and I'm quoting, the dividends of racism, since in the class structure they receive the most desired material and symbolic rewards. It is worth noting that the arguments presented by the author are based on statistical data, which was deepened in her later works. A collaborative effort with Argentine sociologist Carlos Hasenbaugh resulted in studies on racial inequalities in Brazil. The book Lugar de Negro, The Place of the Black Person, from 1982, is one of the results of this partnership, in which Lélia appears as the first author. In the title of the book in Portuguese, we notice Lélia's signature characteristic of making use of colloquial expressions and exploring its ambiguities or using expressions in a provocative sense, different from their frequent, current, and racist use. In this book, Lélia wrote about the Black movement in Brazil going back to the 30s. She emphasizes pluralities, which is why she prefers to speak of movements. Emphasizing cultural dimension, quilombos, afoxés, samba schools, these movements are composed of entities, according to the author's terms. The author also approaches the Black inteligentsia in São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, especially from the Frente Negra Brasileira, Teatro Experimental do Negro, between the 30s and the 40s. For the author, the 1964 coup and its consequent repressive actions resulted in the disarticulation of Black intellectual elites. This perspective is one of the ways to understand the effects of the dismutering that would only be partially overcome in the 70s with the resumption of Black theater in São Paulo, with Grupo Palmares in Rio Grande do Sul, and in Rio de Janeiro by young Black people of the So Black Rio movement. These remarks are essential, especially for those interested in the study of social movements. Much of what Lélia brings in her writings, but specifically in this piece, Lugar de Negro, are descriptions and analyses that are not always part of the field of studies on social movements in Brazil. Such framework implies that movements such as those studied by Lélia of Black people and women would only take place during the so-called new social movements which embrace the perspective of identities. For this reason, we emphasize the contributions of Lélia Gonzalez to this field of study. Yet, this analysis maintains an emphasis on urban and large city contests over other experiences. I have already mentioned, and I believe it is worth restating, Lélia's use of colloquial language is a very evident and well-commented characteristic about the author and her writings. The presence of terms and expressions we would deem common knowledge are frequent. This might be a result of the fact that, as I have mentioned, many of Lélia's writings were originally public speeches. But even in Lugar de Negro, the book, the writing is fluid, informative, direct, and witty. She ends this particular book with comments on the Black movement and presents the movement's charter of principles, which reads, and I'm quoting here, "For an authentic racial democracy, for the liberation of the Black people." And the author ends with axé. Axé is a Yoruba expression. It's a kind of salutation, and it means bringing the energy of the orishas. The concepts of Brazilian style races and Americanity are central to the author's work and of great importance to theories in the social sciences. On Brazilian racism, the author's dialogue with concepts from the field of psychoanalysis are fundamental. The symbolism of racism made the author refer to, and I'm quoting, Brazilian neurosis. Lélia states that the neurotic person develops ways of hiding their symptoms, so the Brazilian neurosis is related to an attempt to hide in silence of racism. At the same time that this denial occurs, the problem is there, making itself visible to others. Racism is the symptom of Brazilian cultural neurosis. Lélia's approach to racism does not seek to internalize or individualize a problem, but the opposite. Racism is a problem in Brazilian society. Therefore, according to the author, whitening is an obstacle to be overcome, as it is a very effective ideological form of racism in Latin America. The ideology of whiteness creates denial, silencing, and concealment. All these strategies make it easier not to face the problem. For this reason, the author was also involved in political and cultural movements, both in Rio de Janeiro and in Salvador. The author offered courses on Black culture at Parque Lage, a public park in Rio de Janeiro. She consistently invited revered figures such as Mestre Candeia and other artists to these classes. Lélia described the problem of whitening in statistical terms as well. The socioeconomic mobility of Black people in Brazil was usually an individual experience. Such a reality is conducive to brainwashing, for people are led to the belief that social ascension depends on the individual despite the social conditions that limit opportunities for growth and which date back to the period of colonization and slavery. Therefore, another well-known concept from the author's work is that of Americanity. Through this idea, the author intends to refer to a set of common experiences among Black people in Latin America. The term stems from a criticism of the imagined notion that Brazil was discovered, formed, and developed by white Europeans. The author's touring of different Latin American, or she will prefer Latino American countries, as well as exchanges with intellectuals and artists from these countries, led to her growing contact with Black cultural manifestations in addition to Brazilian ones. By turning to common language using in drumming rhythms, for example, she explained the etymology of the word but in Portuguese. The author didactically traces Black presence in the cultural construction of the American continent. Amefricano, Amefrican, is a designation term through which it would be possible to achieve an effective diasporic awareness of one's African descent. So, Amefricanity is related to concepts such as Pan-Africanism, Blackness, Afrocentrism. As stated in an excerpt from the text, The Political Culture Category of Amefricanity from 1988, Amefricano, Amefrican, and I quote, refers to a historical process of intense cultural dynamics, adaptation, resistance, reinterpretation of new forms. By Amefricanity, we can understand the goal of producing a specific unit which stems from Africa as a reference. The author used an interesting term, certainly the result of her academic training. And I'm quoting again, Amefrica as an ethnogeographic system. That is, the connection between Africa and the Americas as a space for the geographical distribution of people, races, or nations. To end this episode on Lélia Gonzalez, I would like to comment on a point that was debated among the researchers of the group that contributed to this podcast. We were struck by the author's discomfort with the socioeconomic mobility of Black people, which almost always takes place through paths that are considered accepted by white people. This will be the case of the rise of the Black men and women as samba dancers, or in football, or as mulattas in carnival. For the author, this, I'm quoting, permitted positions, socially accepted by whites in relation to Black people, have in common the fact that they are restricted to the entertainment universe. Lélia further argues that racial democracy and whitening, scientific theories conveniently accepted by white society, produced the Black woman as an object. There are several passages in which Lélia Gonzalez discusses the mulatta from different perspectives. In one of her texts, the author transcribes a report from the newspaper O Globo from 1986, which follows the preparation of a quoting the journal, professional mulatta according to the newspaper's categories. The passage is indeed shocking. The author doesn't even comment. She quotes from the newspaper, and in many other places, to point out that the position of the Black woman more than that of the Black man as that of an object. It is worth remembering that one of Lélia's brothers was a football player for a big team in Rio de Janeiro. And this played a decisive role in his ability to move his family to Rio de Janeiro, as well resulted in a relative social ascension. Different from her brother, the mulatta is a point of tension, almost a position without much possibility of resistance within Brazilian culture. The mulatta is trapped in the shackles of a collective neurosis, of a Brazilian-style racism that values the specific and oppresses the structure. In our group, we discuss that, unlike the Black mother, the author does not see possibilities for the mulatta to and I'm using her expression here, trip up the dominant race. This idea of tripping up is what Lélia Gonzalez understands that Black nannies, the Black mothers, do on a daily basis. This is because they transmit to the white children, the boss's children who are under their care, their language, a mix of Portuguese and Black language. Let us remember that teaching a language is to present the world. It is to create a universe. Therefore, these Black women, in the author's view, would be the mothers, and the mother, the white one, is the other. a type of perversion or positions that does not extend to other black women, such as the mulatas. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Aurélia González. I hope that the author's theories have instigated you to know more about Brazilian social thought. You can find the reference to the materials used in this podcast on our website and in the description of the episode. Campo, an anthropological podcast, is produced and edited by me, Carol Parreiras, and conceived of and presented by Paula Lacerda. In addition to our website, we are on Instagram as Campo Podcast. We would like to thank the American Anthropological Association for the opportunity of being part of the podcast library and also for participating in 2022 Anthro Day. Thank you and see you in the next episode. Bye!